Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. Yesterday, we spoke about the Ezer Kenegdo, one of the most crucial Ezer help that a woman is able to do for her husband is to make him feel important, to make him feel like a melech, like a king. He may not be a king anywhere else, but in his home, there needs to be that feeling of hashivut. The kavod that she has for him will make him feel that way. And we mentioned that this has to be real kavod, not external kavod. Like the Chaye Adam says by kibud av v'em, by honoring parents, that honor with thoughts is the most important, more than the actions, more than the words. The honor that comes from the thoughts of the person. In fact, the honor that comes externally needs to come from a real place. And we mentioned that it is within the human capability of giving kavod to someone and feeling kavod to someone, even if that person may not look like they're worthy of it. And that's a big avodah. It's a very big avodah in life, in general, especially in a home. To be able to feel that the person you're looking at is someone who is worthy of your honor. They may do things that don't really deserve honor. They may not be the full package, and therefore you have reason to not look at them as such important people. But one of the great challenges of life is that we need to give and to feel kavod, to feel that the person standing opposite us is worthy of respect, and we should look at them in that way. And nowhere is that more critical than in a home, in a marriage, where the couple needs to view the one they're married to as the Chaye Adam says, Gedolim. They're great people. They're Hashuvim. They're important people. Nechbadei Aretz. They're from the honorable people of earth. Very hard to elevate ourselves to have such feelings for people that maybe on the surface tell a guy, you know, you have to think of your father and mother as the most important people on the planet, when he knows they may not really be the most important people on the planet. But it is an obligation, and it's possible that a person is able to develop a respect for someone else, even if that someone else is not respected by others, and even if they're not the full package. And there's no real better time to talk about this than today. We are approaching Lag BaOmer. We have been in a period of communal mourning between Pesach and Lag BaOmer. This mourning period, where we didn't have any weddings and other things as well, is because of what our rabbis teach us. As the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamot, that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. Actually, the way the Gemara says it is that he had 12,000 pairs of students. It's interesting that the Gemara calls them pairs, not 24,000. Ve'kulan metu beperek ehad. And they all died in the same time period. And the Gemara says, Mipene shelo nahagu kavod ze laze. Because they didn't give kavod, they didn't feel kavod, they didn't feel the honor of one to the other. They're learning havruta, they're 12,000 pairs, one on one. And they're not feeling the honor for the guy they're learning with. Perhaps that's why it says 12,000 pairs. We're not talking about having kavod for the guy in the other Beit Midrash or the guy in the next table. The guy they were learning with. Lo na'agu kavod ze laze. And therefore, a terrible plague took place. And they all died in this time period until Lag BaOmer. So actually, we are in a time of mourning for this destructive behavior of a person who's unable to look at the one opposite him, someone close to him, with the proper kavod, the proper honor, and to feel that way about that person. Notice, by the way, that it doesn't say, you know, people have the wrong misconception here, that the students of Rabbi Akiva, they belittled. People have a misconception on this subject, thinking that Rabbi Akiva's students belittled each other. They put each other down. They spoke negatively of each other. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say they were mezalzel. They lowered each other. They belittled each other. It doesn't say that. They would never do that. At least that's not what the Gemara is saying. It says, lo nahagu kavod zebazu. They didn't give them proper honor. They didn't make the guy opposite them feel important. It's amazing that for something like that, there could be such a terrible tragedy. But you see how important it is to make the person who's standing opposite you, to make them feel important. Forget belittling them. We're not even talking about that. I don't belittle anybody. That would be a beautiful, beautiful step for every person. Imagine you never belittle anyone, never talk down to anyone. You never embarrass anyone. That's a beautiful thing. Wishful that we will be able to reach such a level. But Rabbi Akiva's students didn't have this issue. They never belittle anyone. But they didn't give the guy the feeling of honor. They didn't make the guy feel like he's important. That's something to strive for, and you see the tremendous tragedy that came out of it. When you see tragedy came out of something like this, you have to know that while we may not be on this level, and therefore we won't be held accountable on this level, in Rabbi Akiva's world and his students' world, they were held accountable for something so high. So we are probably not going to be held accountable. Like I said, we're struggling way below this line. They don't judge us the way they judge great people. But you must take lesson that when we don't give kavod to one another, it's creating a disaster in our lives. It may not come from a heavenly decree. It may not come from a miraculous. What happened by the Rabbi Akiva students is miraculous. They all died in the same time period, and they all died with the same sickness. It may not happen that way, but know it as a fact of life. When you're in a relationship, especially an important relationship, you're in a marriage, and there isn't a feeling of kavod for one another, if the person is not feeling that the other one is worthy of honor, Again, not fake. Fake is also good. It's better than not fake. If you don't feel it, at least make believe with your words. Make believe with your actions. With hope that you will feel it too. But the real Ikar honor is to feel it. A relationship where the people don't feel that the other one is important is destined for destruction. That is what you learn from Rabbi Akiva's student story. When people don't give kavod to each other, this is not lasting. Again, in their level, in their world, they were wiped out. Probably it's not going to happen to us. But there are other disasters that will happen in a person's life that may not reach that. It's nothing that we would want. Whether it's illness, God forbid, or whether it's emotional pain, or whether it's the general outcome of the relationship. So we must take lesson. That's what we're mourning during this period. Such an important subject that probably is a very big heidush to people in the street. The world out there does not expect us to give honor to other people. As long as we don't bother them, we don't steal from them, we don't hurt them, we don't talk about them. Even talking is today acceptable. Free speech. You could say whatever you want about anybody. It's an amazing world that we live in. We're so used to it. The media reports anything on anybody. It's okay to talk about people. So there's a tremendous amount of belittlement that happens between us. Even that's okay in today's world. It's acceptable. Within certain boundaries, there might be a red line of certain things you shouldn't say. But the expectation we're talking about today, they would never dream of. That I'm expected to be a person that not only doesn't belittle someone, to give someone a feeling that they're important. It's not even an expectation. And today we're learning that in relationships, especially important ones, husband and wife, children, siblings, students and rabbis, good friends, especially in those areas, your havruta. Without kavod, there's destruction. It's a formula. So how do you get there? How does a person develop a feeling of honor for someone that they don't really honor? There's a reason why I don't honor them. So how do you expect me to feel that they're honorable if I don't really agree that they are? I know what the person does. I know who they are. I know what they say. I know how they act. And let's be honest, they don't really deserve honor. But yet we're telling the person, no, you need to feel kavod for that person. How does a person get himself to feel honor for someone that may not deserve it in their eyes? It's a very big challenge for every person. It's easy to feel honor for someone that deserves it. But ultimately, how many people really deserve honor that are such great people that, we have to give them kavod? So to answer this question, we really should study what happened with Rabbi Akiva's students. Why specifically Rabbi Akiva's students, the greatest people on the planet, were the ones guilty of this? They should have been perhaps the best at this area. And especially when you consider the time period that they perished. Obviously, Hashem doesn't do things randomly. So if they died during this time period, there must be some connection to the time and why they died during exactly this time. And if there's a connection to the time period, it makes us even think more that, wait a second, this time period, out of all the different days on the Jewish calendar, the time that you will find people, especially Talmidei Chachamim, that are extra careful and extra focused on their character refinement, it's during the time between Pesach and Shavuot. People are learning Pirkei Avot. People are learning the 48 Kinyanim of the Torah, all the different Midot. Because we know Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. To receive the Torah and Shavuot, you got to come in with refinement, with refinement of character. Derech Eretz, proper behavior. So the natural preparation for Shavuot and Matan Torah is delving in our character and musar and self-improvement. So you're talking about the most important time period for a person's character refinement. And specifically at that time, Rabbi Akiva's students were taken from this world. If you told me it happened in the summer, I can understand maybe the summertime, people get a little lax. It's nice out, they're enjoying themselves, they get carried away. They're eating too much, they're drinking too much. Here, they gave them a few weeks off from Yeshiva Ben Azmanin. And during that time, they lost focus. And because of that, they had to be taken from this world. Okay, I hear that. Even though it's Rabbi Akiva's students, but at least I can understand. But how do you explain that in this time period, where this is supposed to be the focus, not Ben Azmanim, and not even a time in regular learning of yeshiva, the focus now is Midot, character. So specifically during this time, they messed up. How could that be? So I'm going to tell you a rule that we've mentioned before, but it's very critical for our subject and needs to be applied properly in a marriage for both husband and wife.
Yes.
The rule is like this. You know, a person, at least a quality person, always looks to make themselves better. That's why we learn. Because we realize we could be better. So many characteristics that we need to improve. As we improve, as we get better at any area in life, especially if we worked hard to achieve it, to attain it, there is a major danger in that area. Perfection in any area leads to intolerance of others in that area. Which means, let's say, I work to become a Baal Tzedakah. I used to not give charity. I kept everything for myself. I didn't like sharing my money with others who need it. But then I really worked hard. I opened a new bank account. I took all my ma'aser and put it in the bank account separate, and I started to give. And then I went to 20%. And now I became this natural giver. When people come to me, I can't wait to give them. I'm looking for the merit of how I can give to more people and more money. I wasn't always like this, but I worked it and I became it. It's a beautiful achievement. But there will be a danger in that achievement. That is, when you see another person who is not as good as you in this area, you're going to be overly sensitive in a negative way towards that person. When you do something so well, you become sensitive to those who don't. You look at the guy, he's only giving 10%. Someone like that, 10%. He's only giving 5%. All of a sudden, you develop a sensitivity, extra sensitivity, because you're measuring the person to what you do, and he falls extremely short. That could happen with charity. It could happen with a person who works on his anger and becomes this calm, patient person. He will become sensitive to those who are not as patient. It could happen to a person who takes it upon himself that he's not going to talk during tefillah anymore. He only prays to Hashem, doesn't talk to anybody else. Beautiful thing. He used to not be that person. And now he became that person. If you perfected this area, you see a guy talking next to you, it bothers you. You become sensitive to it. A person who doesn't waste time and uses every moment that they can for something positive, either to do something, to learn something. They don't just waste time. And they see people sitting around doing nothing. It makes a hole in their heart for that person. They cannot believe such a behavior. It bothers them. They become sensitive. You must know that. Perfection leads to sensitivity in that area, which could lead to looking negatively at a person because they don't have the same level of achievement in the area that you perfected. This creates a major issue if you're in the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva, especially if it's the time where people are working to perfect themselves. Ultimately, to perfect ourselves, there are many channels, and we can't make all the changes at one time. In our time today, we have to choose something, work on it, fix it, go to the next item, fix that. So just imagine, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva, you had thousands of students, and each one is choosing one specific area that they're going to conquer this year. Each one, kedarko, each one in his way, what he thinks he needs most, what he thinks he's capable of, whatever it is. It's a beautiful thing. What a yeshiva. Everyone's climbing to perfection in different areas of their character. But it creates a tremendous danger, more than any other time. Because since, imagine you have a havruta, two people learning. One guy is working on his smile. One guy is working on his timeliness. Great. By the time Lag BaOmer came, one guy is not a second late. He's there 5 minutes before because he used to be a little bit more tardy. He used to come a little later, but now he's on time. That's his thing. He perfected it. And the other guy is always got a beautiful face on. He used to be not like that. But by the Lag BaOmer, he was doing great. Took him 30 days and he's... Do you understand what happened now in this relationship? The guy who's all full of smile, look at the guy and say, what's wrong with you? And you may not tell him that. But I gotta respect a guy like this. Walks around like it's Tisha B'Av. Where's your Sever Panim Yafot? Where's your beautiful face? What's wrong with you? He looks at him and he just has a hard time respecting him. The other guy is looking at him as, I understand, every day you have to come late. Where's your responsibility? Coming on time? I gotta respect someone who's always late. All of a sudden, you have two people that are rising, each one in their way, and simultaneously losing respect for the other guy who is not measuring up to their success in that area. This explains beautifully that specifically Rabbi Akiva's students had this problem more than others, because they perfected more than others. And the higher the perfection, the greater the sensitivity to those who don't add up. And specifically during this time, because this was the time of the highest achievements in this area. Lo na'agu kavod ze bazeh, because it's very hard to look at someone who's not doing what you do very well. Let's circle back to our subject and how relevant this is to a marriage. Probably even more than a havruta. Because women and men are so different. And they excel in different things. So here you have a couple, a havruta. She's always on time. He's always late. She's zealous. He's lazy. He's giving of his time or his money to others. She doesn't have that quality. I'm just giving you examples. Bottom line, two people are very different in general. But if you attach to their gender, men and women, then they're very different. And what they excel in is very often not what the other one is good at. And it becomes a major obstacle for giving kavod to one another. How am I going to give kavod? How am I going to feel that person who doesn't measure up to what I have, how will I feel they're so important? This is the challenge of every Eshet Hayil, to look at a husband who may be below certain standards and look at him like he is a melech. So hashuv. What is the solution to this problem? What in reality can a person do to fix this natural issue? So you have to learn the words of the Ramban in his famous letter, Igeret HaRamban. You must learn a couple of lines in that letter. If a person is able to internalize the message of the Ramban
and make it a reality in his life, problem solved. You have to know this Ramban, very critical. The Ramban is not talking about marriage. He's talking about all relationships. But we're going to apply it to a marriage, the most important relationship. Says the Ramban, famous words, V'chol Adam, he says to his son, and every person, when he says every, he means even the person that may not be so great. Every. Yihye gadol mimcha be'enecha. In your eyes, you should see them as someone greater than you. Tremendous. Every person that you meet, in your eyes, you should look at them as greater than you. Again, he says every person. But let's apply it to marriage. A husband and wife, a wife should look at her husband as greater than her. Gadol. And the same for a husband to his wife. Says the Ramban, that no matter the reality on the ground, he says, if im hacham, if he's a wise person, or ashir, or he's a wealthy person who is very charitable, does a lot of good things, it's easy. Alav lekabedo, of course, give him honor. Ve'im raju, or let's say he's not such a giver, not so important. Or you're wiser than him, he's not so wise. So now that's where the challenge is. What happens when he's below you? How are you supposed to look at him as gadol mimcha? How is that possible? You're supposed to lie to yourself? You're supposed to live a life of sheker? You're supposed to imagine that you're a nothing and he's greater? But the reality says otherwise. You learn every day. You finish Shas 10 times. You know every halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The man is ignorant and didn't open a book in his life. What are you supposed to say? He's more hacham than me. What does that mean? He says, look at his Ramban. He says, Hashob belivcha. He says, you must take yourself to the side and think. Ki ata hayav mimenu, that you are more guilty than he is. Vehu zakai mimcha, and he is more innocent than you are. Because given your background, given your opportunities, given the gift that God gave you, you should do much more. Given where he came from, given his challenges, given his upbringing, given his lack of tools, he's greater than you. Greatness isn't measured by what people do. It's measured by how they're able to fill their cup. So if they have a smaller cup and they fill it to the top, they're gadol, great. And if you have a huge cup and you only fill it halfway, so then even if it's more than the other guy's cup, but you're considered a small person. So says the Ramban, you got to have the right perspective. Do you know the challenges this man has? Do you know how he grew up? Do you know where he went to school? Do you know? You don't know these things. So therefore, you have to imagine that you're not reaching your potential, perhaps the way he is. Let me say it in a more
relevant, maybe simple way.
What the Ramban is telling you is, instead of using yourself as the rule of greatness and comparing others to you, usually the way you look at yourself, you say, oh, well, I'm very good at this, I'm great at that, I do a lot of this, I do for this house this, I don't. And then you measure the other person vis-a-vis what you're great at. So in that system, they're always going to fall short. But what if you measured yourself with their greatness? What if you looked at what they do very well? Either they do things greater than you, or perhaps they're fulfilling their potential more than you're fulfilling your potential. You say, where they came from and they have this, I don't know if I would have been able to reach where they reach based on what they were given. Look at their value and try to see if you measure to what they have. Every person has certain qualities that are going to be better than us. It's very hard to find someone who you have 100% better in everything than them. Everyone's got certain quality, 1, 2, 3, 10. The job in a relationship is to look at the qualities of the person, things that they excel in, and to focus on those qualities. Instead of looking at what they're lacking, take some time to see what they're good at and constantly remind yourself and repeat it. It works. Like the Shevet Musar says, Haddimyon Oved. When you use your imagination, when you use your mind, it works. Take a person that you're not so fond of. Could be a husband. Take someone that you're not so respectful of, because you know some of their lackings. And take certain qualities about them and focus. And think about how they do so well in this area, in that area, in this area, that you don't measure up to them in those specific qualities. And you keep reminding yourself of that. And you keep imagining and seeing them in that light. It's a whole different person. You just change who you are as a person. You now are a person that's able to give kavod. They may fail in certain areas, but they're for sure very good in others. Start seeing them in what they're good at. It's not so comfortable to look at people in the qualities they have over us. It makes us feel lower. That's why by nature, we like to always look and focus at the negative that we have better, because it makes us feel that we're better than them. So the nature of a person is to look for the bad, to look for the weaknesses. And once you look for the weaknesses, you see the person, the sum total in your mind is not good. But if we're able to go above this challenge and focus, take a person in your life and look at all their qualities, you will for sure find things that are better than you. And if you focus on those qualities, your sum total will be, wow, what a hashuv person this person is. I can't do that. I can't be up all night with a child. Can't do it. I don't know how they do it. And they function the next day too. I don't know how they can do it. Can't imagine such dedication
I don't know how my husband is out there working, traveling, doing. I don't know. It's very hard what he does. I can't do it. It's unbelievable. I know how he gets up so early. I know how he handles so many things in his life. Whatever it is, this is the fruitful avodah of an eshet chayim, a husband as well. How to help her husband to look at him as a hashuv person. How does she see a hashuv person when she knows all the different weaknesses that he has? Because the mind has the capability of focusing on all the good things. It says, "Umehaverai yoter merabotai." I learn from my friends more than my rabbis. You can learn a lot from a havruta. You can learn a lot from a marriage partner, from a spouse. You can learn a lot. But you can't learn anything if you look at them that they're lower. If you look at them that they're not important, you can't learn nothing from them. You can learn a lot from them if you have a focus of the qualities they have. There's a lot to learn from. Measure yourself to what they have, and you will see not only success in honoring them, but you'll improve also. You'll be learning from them. You'll be gaining from them. You know, Rabbi Akiva, when he gathered his new students, started again. Some say that's the great celebration of Lag Va'Omer. That Rabbi Akiva, after losing all the students, he starts again. He lost 24,000. He starts again. Gemara says, the Midrash says, with Shiva. He started with seven. Seven from 24,000. Unbelievable. And he gathered them as they started the yeshiva again. The Midrash says, Amar Lahem, Harishonim lo metu. He says, my first students, they only died because Shehaita enehem tzara b'Torah ze laze. Their eye was narrow in Torah, one to another. Atem lo tiyuken. You don't do that. When you read this midrash, seems to be different than the Gemara we learned earlier. Gemara earlier says the reason why they died is because lo nahagu kavod ze baze. They didn't give respect to one another. Here, he's telling the new students, don't be like them. They were narrow-eyed in their Torah, which means they didn't share their Torah to one another. Narrow means you keep it to yourself. You don't spread it. You don't open it. Seems to be a whole different understanding of why they passed away. But in reality, it's not really a different thing. It's an outcome. Competition. Who does more for this marriage? And when you're in competition with somebody, naturally you don't want to share. Imagine, I'm competing with you in a game. I'm not going to give you the answer. And you're going to be winning over me. I'm not going to share with you Torah. You're not on my level. It's a competitive nature of a person. If I'm competing with you, I want to see that you're lower than me. So my eyes naturally look to see what you don't have that I have. I want to be a winner. But bottom line, that's what happens in a relationship where people are competing for who is more hashuv. They turn out in a disaster. The Eshet Hayil and her husband, hopefully, will be people who are looking to see how Hashuv the other one is. And when that happens, it's a whole different beracha in a home. But for that, you need a good eye. You need to see the good. You need to focus on the good. That is the fortune of a great home. A fortunate home is when the people in that home look at the good in each other. I'll just end off. You know, there's a beautiful commentary on a famous Mishnah in Perkei Avot. Mishnah says, Ezehu mechubad, who is considered a person of honor, ha-mechabed et ha-beriot, someone who gives honor to the others, to the people in his life. So simply, when you have a lot of honor, you're able to give it. So how do we know if you have a lot of honor? When I see you're sharing honor with others. Just like you can't give money if you don't have it. You can't give kavod to others if you don't have it. So how do I know if you have honor for yourself? If I see you giving it out, that's a simple explanation. However, Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen from Izmir says a beautiful explanation. He says, when you have a relationship with somebody, if you honor them, then you're going to be a person who has more honor. Why? He said, because when you get honor from someone who's not honorable, so the honor they give you doesn't mean much. Imagine you walked outside and 100 ants came and they clapped their hands for you. Would you go away and say, ah, I'm so hashuv, I'm so important. 100 ants, they gave me a standing ovation. What? Ants giving you a standing ovation doesn't make you feel hashuv. Why? Because they're not hashuv. Your value that's given from others has to be measured with the other people's value. If the guy who gave you kavod is not himself an honorable person, so it doesn't mean much. Someone who is honorable gave you kavod. Oh, that's kavod. Ezehu mechubad. Who is a person who gets kavod in life? The one who makes the people around him, he is mechabed them. He considers them honorable people. When the people around you are honorable, then any kavod they give you, you become more honorable. Let's play it by the Eshet Chayim. When she is mechabed her husband, then any kavod she gets from her husband is going to be feel very sweet, because she's getting kavod from someone who is important. But if your husband in your eyes is a shmata, is a zero, so any kavod he gives you, or any kavod you get by being married to him from others, is not worth anything. Because you're the wife of a zero. So what's the value of a zero giving you something? Nothing. Being married to a zero in people's eyes, you don't feel kavod. So who made the zero kavod for you? You. So when you mechaved your husband, when you look at your husband, if you're able to achieve this, and look at him as an important person, it's not only him that you're helping. You're making yourself mechubad. You're making yourself hashuv. Because now the relationship and what you're getting from it is coming from a higher place. So depending on your assessment of your husband, that's how much kavod you're going to have to yourself. Beautiful. Ezehu mechubad. You want to be a person who is full of honor. Well, give honor to the people around you. And then when they give you honor, that's going to be worth something. But if you look at everybody around you like they're zeros, then there's no way for you to have honor.
Because even if they give you honor, it doesn't mean anything. Because in your eyes, they're not worth anything. Kavod. The Ezer Kenegdo. The big job of a wife and husband. Especially in Eshet Hayil, her job is to meet Machshiv. Hashuv. This husband that she has. Because look at what he does here. Look at us there. That's the view that an Eshet Hayil has of her husband, and that raises his kavod, his greatness, and her kavod. I'll just leave off with a story. One story. Story that happened in Europe at the end of the war, when they freed the camps, all the people that were taken to get killed, and they freed them. The first Shabbat, there was a great man. His name was Rabbi Eliezer Silver. He later moved to America. He was one of the people that were found themselves free. And this was the first Friday night in a long time that they could pray and do Kabbalat Shabbat. So he gathered as many people as he could find to make a holy gathering of Kabbalat Shabbat. What a moment. He went over to one fellow and told him to please come. He invited him. And that specific person told him, I'm sorry. He tells him, there's no way I could come. He said, after all that I saw, I cannot see myself coming to something like this ever. The rabbi asked him, what did you see?
One of the things I'm missing.
He told him, where I was, there was one Jew that was successful in sneaking in a Tehillim. Nobody else was able to get a Tehillim, but he snuck it in. And people started to know and realize that this was the man who had the Tehillim. So they went over to ask him if they can read from his Tehillim. And he says, people were lining up, hundreds of people, that wanted to use his Tehillim. Every day, people asking him. They're waiting online. Can't imagine what it's like that a Tehillim is the most important thing. They had nothing. He says, would you believe that this man with a Tehillim, before he would give someone Tehillim to read, he would demand that the guy give him half the bread he got today? He says, could you imagine the cruelty? Hundreds of people waiting online for Tehillim, and they're giving this guy half their bread for Tehillim. He says, seeing this man with the Tehillim made me so angry. He says, it left a hole in my soul. I cannot imagine how I would ever be able to pray again. The rabbi tells this man, he says, I want to tell you thank you. You gave me a lot of strength today. Man says, what are you talking about? I gave you strength.
Obviously.
He says, you just told me a story that there were 300 people that were willing to give up half their bread so that they could read Tehillim. That's very inspiring. That a person could give up half his portion of food just so he could read Tehillim? And hundreds like that? Says he inspired me to know him. You chose to look at the one guy who was doing the wrong thing, when you should have seen the 300 that were doing a courageous, great act. That's a real story. And it didn't just happen in 1945. It happens every day. Where our eyes naturally go to the negative, even if the positive is so much more. And that needs to be fixed if we're going to have proper kavod, proper honor for other people, especially people in our homes. It's got to change. We've got to look at the 300, not the one. Got to be able to see the greatness of the people around us. And then we'll develop real honor. And with real honor comes so much beracha. The opposite of whatever happened to the Rabbi Akiva students. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen v'amen.